It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. When a high school student athlete takes a hard hit, an athletic trainer may be the first on the scene to assist and diagnose any issues or injuries. Depending on the school, access to trainers can be uneven. That can be problematic, according to a new study, especially if an athlete has taken a hard hit to the head. Our guest researcher looks at the relationship between access to athletic trainers at Wisconsin's high schools and how concussions are diagnosed. Are you an athlete who's been diagnosed with a concussion? If so, did an athletic trainer help you through the process? Or maybe you are an athletic trainer. Tell us about your experiences working with student athletes. What do you think can be done to make these athletes safer? And what questions do you have about identifying concussions? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Tim McGuine is senior scientist and a sports medicine researcher at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He is the principal investigator on a new study that looks at the relationship between the availability of athletic trainers and concussions at Wisconsin high schools. Tim, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you for having me on.
First of all, give us a little bit of background about this study and what specifically you were looking for.
Well, our purpose was to look at how athletic trainers are utilized in interscholastic settings and across the state of Wisconsin. So our goal was to pick a single pathology, a single injury, and study that in terms of how it's reported, how it's managed in these different school settings. And we know from our previous work that a lot of factors play into the availability of athletic trainers. We know that counties with lower median household incomes or schools with higher levels of free and reduced lunch have lower access. And we tried to see what exactly that role that played then in terms of how, A, concussions were identified, and then, B, how they were managed in that setting. So that was the premise for this particular study.
What does the job of an athletic trainer entail? What do they do?
Well, it's really varied. You know, in the interscholastic setting, the high school setting, it can be anything from pre-season physical awareness, making sure these kids are prepared to play, making sure you have an injury history taken. And during the seasons, it can be making available to recognize injuries that they occur. It can be providing emergency medical services as needed at different sport venues. And once an injury occurs, it can be documenting where the appropriate referral goes. Does they have to go to an emergency room? Can they be managed at the school itself? Can they be sent to their primary care provider? And once that injury then has been diagnosed and it's been identified, what's the rehabilitation parameters that need to be taken? And so those athletic trainers are involved in all of those phases in many of these high school settings.
And how many, there are over 500 high schools in Wisconsin. Do we know how many of them actually have an athletic trainer on staff?
Well, you know, and that's a fluctuating number from year to year. And we're looking at the schools that just offer athletic programs, so then we're really down around the 400 school range. And really, in Wisconsin, it's pretty good. Compared to other states, it's much better. Access to athletic trainers is much better in terms of, depending on which year you studied, 95%+ of the schools have access to an athletic trainer at some time during their high school year, whether it might be just during the football season. But many of the schools, about a third of them, have somebody on-site available every day in the afternoon and most athletic events at home.
And where do these athletic trainers come from? I mean, is this their full-time job?
Yeah, and most of them are employed through clinics and hospitals. So you may have a hospital or clinic provider in the area that employs the athletic trainer. Maybe in the morning they work with orthopedic patients or sports patients or in a rehab setting. Then in the afternoon they are contracted to go to the high school, work the high school the rest of their day. So, and they're all prepared. They all have a minimum of a bachelor's degree. Most have a master's degree. They have to pass a national certification exam and complete state licensure requirements to go ahead and work in this setting.
Tim McGuine is senior scientist and a sports medicine researcher at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. We're talking about the availability of athletic trainers at for high school athletic programs in the state of Wisconsin and how that might actually have an impact on the health of our student athletes. Tim, are some schools do some schools have less access to a trainer simply because of money, or are there other reasons?
Well, in part, it's money. What we found in our study was we couldn't identify any schools that paid for the athletic trainer services on their own. They usually had it subsidized either 50% to 100% by a local medical provider. So, you know, that plays a role in this as well. And so you see in these counties and these school areas where you have multiple medical providers, they're more likely to have access to athletic trainers than a rural or urban setting where you don't have as many medical providers there on site and available to get these athletic trainers out in the schools. The schools themselves rarely pay for them on their own.
Well, and quite a few school districts in Wisconsin are in rural areas, and so that's really what you're saying is that's where the biggest part of this problem is?
Yeah, it is, but we also found, you know, in inner city Milwaukee, we found the same thing. So, you know, you can look at, say, in northern Wisconsin, Price County is similar to urban Milwaukee County in terms of athletic trainer availability. We see a limited availability in all those both of those situations. So it's not just a rural situation. It's almost I'd say a medically underserved situation. It's a public health situation. We find it identical to other issues with public health access.
So what did you find about schools that have lots of accessibility to trainers?
So we found, like, in the schools with a high number of athletic trainers or a good relationship or a good ratio of athletic trainers availability to the number of athletes, where we see that and they're able to really manage it, we see they're much more likely to recognize concussions. If a concussion is suspected, they're more likely to see that within minutes or less than an hour, whereas in a low-access school, it can be several days. We know that the overall rate in the lower access schools is much lower than what we would expect from a nationwide survey. So it's less than half of what's reported nationwide. So we think we have a number of concussions that are not identified in those situations. And more importantly, in the high access schools, we see that once the concussions occurred, there's more consensus-based follow-up in terms of guidelines that need to be done. So we want to, A, contact a physician, B, contact the parents. We want to contact the coaches to make sure they're aware of it. If academic modifications need to be made, we want to go ahead and do those things. We want to have a structured return-to-play protocol, so we want to monitor the athlete to see how long they had the symptoms. And once the symptoms are resolved, then we don't want to just let them go back to sports. We want them to go back to sports in a structured manner where we rehabilitate and get them to where they're safely able to go. And ultimately, we're finding in the schools with high access to athletic trainers, that time frame is longer. They're keeping the kids out longer in those situations, which is probably a better thing because we don't want to get these kids back on the field in 6 or 7 days. We're seeing that the kids that are with athletic trainers, they're extending that out, and we're less likely then to have a repeat concussion or long-term effects from concussion. So we're seeing all those effects. They're recognizing more, and they're treating them more appropriately in those high-access schools.
And then on the flip side, the schools that have much less access to trainers, concussions aren't being diagnosed as quickly, and are there problems there?
Right. We're seeing that, again, there's a lag time. So, for example, if you're at a school in a rural setting 1 hour a week and a concussion takes place on a Tuesday night soccer game, you may not be there at the school to really examine or work with that kid till a Friday, 3 days later, as opposed to being on the sideline right there.
Don't coaches get some training about concussion protocols, though?
They do, and you know, the WIA has been very proactive with encouraging coaches, officials, anybody suspected of a concussion is told to get that person off the athletic field immediately, and then the rules state that they have to be examined by a licensed medical provider before they can go back on the field. And, yeah, we know that, but again, coaches are coaches, teachers are teachers. Not everybody has that same level of care or same level of training to recognize these things.
And is there pressure at some smaller schools where there are fewer players to get somebody back on the field quicker?
You know, I haven't seen that. As I said, I've been working with in the high schools for, 30 years in the state of Wisconsin. I can count the number of times on one hand and thousands of injuries where I've had a coach or parent ask that their athlete be returned before they were able to be. Mm-hmm. So that really doesn't take the place. And in specifically sports such as football, the High School Football Coaches Association in the state of Wisconsin has been the probably most proactive group in the country in terms of making sure their coaches are aware, hey, if you think a kid's got a concussion or if an athletic trainer says they got a concussion, they're out. There's no return until we get that kid straightened out.
Is the presence of an athletic trainer a fairly recent development? Maybe I'm showing my age here, but when I played football in high school, we didn't have a trainer anywhere near. The coaches did all the taping and all the physical therapy that was done. We didn't have one. Is this a recent development?
Well, I would say in the last 30 years, the model really developed here in the University of Wisconsin setting, where the University of Wisconsin medical group provided athletic trainers locally to schools, started in the mid-'80s. And so, and that's been proliferating, and now I'd say statewide, it's probably in the last 20 years, chances are you've had access to an athletic trainer one way or another at your school.
Tim McGuine stays with us as we continue our discussion about the availability of athletic trainers at Wisconsin's high schools for the high school sports programs and what that means for the student athletes. Tim is a senior scientist and a sports medicine researcher at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Want to know what you're thinking about this? Are you an athlete who's ever been diagnosed with a concussion? If so, did an athletic trainer help you through the process? Or maybe you are an athletic trainer. Tell us about your experiences working with student athletes, particularly if you're an athletic trainer in a rural setting. What is that like? What do you think can be done to help make our high school athletes safer? And what questions do you have about identifying concussions? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org. Tweet us at WPR Mornings. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. When a high school student athlete takes a hard hit, an athletic trainer may be the first on the scene to assist and diagnose any issues or injuries. But depending on the school, access to trainers can be uneven. That can be problematic, according to a new study, especially if an athlete has taken a hard hit to the head. Our guest researcher looks at the relationship between access to athletic trainers at Wisconsin high schools and how concussions are diagnosed. Are you an athlete who's been diagnosed with a concussion? If so, did an athletic trainer help you through the process? Or maybe you're an athletic trainer. Tell us about your experiences working with student athletes. What questions do you have about identifying concussions, and what do you think we can do to make our high school athletes safer? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234 is the number to call to join the program. You can send an email to ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Tim McGuine is with us. He is a senior scientist and sports medicine researcher at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Tim, is the takeaway here that schools need to devote more resources to athletic trainers?
We would love if that was the case. It'd be simple to just, mandate something and, hey, make it all available. The problem comes with money. And, again, if we have a medical provider helping to fund this, what we're doing to help them support them, it's not as simple as saying that. And I talked to some legislators a couple of years ago. I said the worst thing you can do is just pass a mandate that this needs to be done without providing funding and other accessibility issues.
Yeah, school districts don't like unfunded mandates. That much we know. But what about also the supply of athletic trainers, particularly, as you mentioned, in our inner city and our rural schools in Wisconsin? What are some solutions that we could look at there?
Well, we know there are a number. There are over 400 athletic trainers in the state of Wisconsin. So the athletic trainers are there. It's just a matter of matching them up with the employment setting. And I got to, chide some of the medical providers. You need to make it a worthwhile opportunity. There's a situation here 30 minutes from where I'm sitting now where the hospital wanted an athletic trainer at the school, but they wanted to pay them approximately $12,800 a year to do that. Well, in that case, you're not going to get an athletic trainer to do that. So it's got to be a dual recognition from the medical providers and the schools that it's a valued medical provider and that needs to be provided in an adequate funded setting. As I tell people, in many of these settings, the licensed athletic trainer will be the only licensed medical provider these kids have access to on a day-to-day basis. It's not a physician, it's not a physical therapist, it's not a school nurse, it's the athletic trainer. And anything we can do to increase their availability is something we got to look at. Because I tell people, it's not a sport issue when they think, well, you're just about sports and getting kids back to play. No. It's a public health issue. We know that injuries, concussions, ankle sprains, shoulder dislocations can have lifelong impacts. And dealing with them now and keeping kids active is such an important way to do it. It's a public health issue. It's not a sport issue.
What about if having an athletic trainer just isn't an option for schools? What else can they do to protect the health of their student athletes?
Well, that's a tough goal. We know that schools are all, you know, the schools that we're working with, they really do a pretty good job of making sure their coaches are certified in first aid. Many have coaching certifications, know how to use AEDs, CPR, et cetera. And we find that that's the case. And it's interesting because we keep talking about interscholastic settings. We have all these rules and guidelines the WIA has put in place for the interscholastic settings, but it's interesting that we see in Wisconsin there's a growing phenomenon of kids playing club sports. So volleyball, soccer, basketball play many, or if not most, of their competitions outside the school in a club setting. And a lot of these rules and mandates and coaching, I guess, insurance policies that they're going to be trained and able to medically deal with this, they're not in place in those settings. That the interscholastic settings are really the best opportunity in terms of safety and well-being for the kids than that are the mandates are in place for those coaches.
Yeah, a lot of hockey programs like that, too, in Wisconsin and in other states. But we're talking about, you mentioned rules and regulations and things like that. Are there standards for athletic trainers, and are they the same all over the place when it comes to diagnosing concussions, for example?
Well, again, we have, as I mentioned, we have to pass a certification exam and state licensure. So those guidelines are universal, not just in Wisconsin, but across the country in terms of to be certified, to be licensed, you've got to go ahead and do that. So we see that uniformity there. And again, with continuing education requirements, et cetera, the athletic trainers are required to get updated on the most advanced techniques and effective techniques to go ahead and do this. So we hope everybody's able to provide the best care possible and utilize the same standards. That's one of the things we continually do.
And where do are there a number of programs at Wisconsin's universities to supply athletic trainers? I mean, is this a major program at a lot of schools? How many opportunities are there here?
Well, yeah, and the athletic training curriculum has transitioned from a bachelor's only to a master's, so you have several universities in the University of Wisconsin system that are creating and training these athletic trainers. So I tell people we have actually more athletic trainers trained in the state of Wisconsin than job opportunities right now in most settings.
So we don't have a shortage of trainers. We just aren't able to place them where we need them.
That's a good summation.
We often associate concussions with football, and well, the high school football season is over. Athletes are now playing basketball, hockey, indoor soccer. There's wrestling is going on now. I'm not sure what the seasons are anymore. But do athletes playing these sports still need to be diligent about recognizing and trying to prevent concussions, right?
Oh, exactly. I think one of the other misconceptions we have is concussions are a football issue, and they aren't. They're a sport issue. And so we have concussions occurring in every sport. And I think the statistics I tell people, and as a percentage of kids participating, you know, girls soccer is right up there with high school football. And so I said, if you want to be concerned about high school football, what we need to do to prevent concussions, we also need to look at girls soccer. We just completed the largest concussion prevention trial in the world dealing with soccer players. And it was amazing to find that the number of female soccer players reporting multiple concussions is identical in the state of Wisconsin to football players.
Let's say a student athlete isn't immediately able to see a trainer after sustaining a hard hit to the head in a game. What's your best advice for parents in this situation?
Well, again, you know, and again, most schools have information sheets available. They can get online. The parents have to sign off and view a concussion recognition and identification video or educational materials before the season, so they probably have that at their school already. If they see those symptoms, if they see those other things develop, then get them to their physician. Go ahead and go ahead and do that. Like I tell people, concussions are like most sport injuries. They're not an emergency situation. Most of the time, rarely do I send kids to the emergency room. And going to your primary care provider is probably the best way to go. And from a cost-saving aspect, that's incredible, too. So we know, like in our situation, the athletic trainers manage 30 to 40% of these concussions completely at the school, and that's a significant cost savings. In 2016-17, the average cost for getting an concussion managed at a physician is about $700. In an emergency room, it's over $4,000. So I tell parents, you know, get your primary care provider, work with them. They know your kid. They know the medical history. They're probably maybe your best opportunity to go ahead and look at that.
What kind of research needs to still be done, and what kind of research will you be doing on this subject?
Well, we're still looking at the outcomes of this. So one of the things we're also hearing that all these deleterious effects happened with concussions in terms of impacting quality of life, depression, or things. So in the same cohort of over 2,000 kids, we're monitoring, we're looking at the kids with previous concussions and how they're affected, and we're not seeing a lot of effects. And more importantly, the kids with concussions, we've followed them all for a year now and looked at how it's impacting their symptoms, their quality of life, their depression levels, to go ahead and do that. I think we need to do a better job longitudinally with a lot of these things to go ahead and look at we're able to get a lot of good information. We'd always like more. I'd love to get a cohort of kids, 10,000 kids in fourth grade, and follow them throughout their high school career and early adulthood. I think that'd be the best way to go if we can go ahead and get funding for that type of thing.
Well, when it comes to research, there's always another question to ask. Tim, thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tim McGuine is a senior scientist and a sports medicine researcher at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Stick around. We are going to have a lot of fun next hour with a new book called P is for Pterodactyl. And also hearing about your favorite children's stories. This ought to be really, really fun. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.